Now, I would like to appraise the audience about our next speaker, Sri Mukesh Jain. He is Capgemini CTIO, Vice President and Head of Data Technology for Insights, Data Global Business Unit in India. He leads technology strategy, innovation, architecture advisory, R&D, solutions development in the area of analytics, machine learning, and AI across key sectors like finance, retail, automotive, education, manufacturing, and life sciences. As a techno-biz leader, he possesses passion for excellence and data-driven innovation that delivers sustainable business value with explainable and ethical AI. Prior to joining Capgemini, he worked as CTO for VFS Global, Vice President R&D and India Head for NICE System, Vice President and Head of Analytics Jio, and Director of Engineering at Microsoft for 13.5 years. He was instrumental for setting up R&D Center for Microsoft in Bangalore and set up GIC for NICE Systems in Pune. Sri Mukesh Jain is a pioneer and recognized leader in the area of artificial intelligence and machine learning. His first AI implementation was 20 years back in 1999. That was Junk Filter in Microsoft Outlook. He has conducted masterclass on AI at NASSCOM. He is actively implementing AI in the area of explainable AI, bias prevention, ethical AI, and tighter integration with humans. He is recipient of multiple awards, including Microsoft's most prestigious Gold Star Award 3 years in a row, Asia Pacific Leadership Award, I Six Sigma, Best Six Sigma Black Belt, Best Speaker by TESCO. Also, Times of India Ascent Asia Pacific honored him as top 25 most innovative HR tech leader in India and Technology Leadership Award by Economic Times. May I now request Sri Mukesh Jain to kindly deliver his talk.
Good morning, everybody. I will start sharing my screen.
Yes, sir.
Is my screen visible?
Yes, sir. Your screen is visible, sir. Please continue, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation and having me here. It's a proud moment for me to be talking in front of you and sharing my views and perspective on artificial intelligence. As I've been already introduced, just maybe highlight you a few points. So in the 25 years of experience, I've always had the honor and opportunity to build large-scale, ultra-large-scale products, be it at Microsoft or at Reliance Jio or at my current role as a Chief Technology Officer at Capgemini. Some of the things I have done, I always passionate about data. And right now, I was in Microsoft for 13 years in US. I came back to India 9 years back. And since then, I've been teaching at IIT, IIMs, BSP Learning, NITs, and multiple conferences on artificial intelligence. And one of the things which I love talking about is, with the students and all, working on some new ideas. And especially now I'm doing a lot of research in the areas of artificial intelligence in association with Chandigarh University and IIT Bombay as well. I published 2 books and I'm writing my third book soon. With that, I'll start. Let me start with a small cartoon here. We always think we are busy. One of the things which inhibits knowledge in my experience of 25 years is we think we are busy. We get too much busy in the tactical things. But the fact that Navy have arranged such a great 3 days event to learn new things for everybody, I think it's a great way for us to learn from some of the successes people have done in their career and in the industry. So I think this is a good one. And this is an interesting one. I will let you read it for 5 seconds. One of my experience has been, a lot of time, we end up taking advice from a wrong person. The person may or may not have been qualified to do those. And this is the same thing challenge with artificial intelligence. I'm going to talk about some of the challenges in artificial intelligence along with some of the benefits of artificial intelligence. But yes, it's important for us to know that we take advice from the right people, right system, right software. With that, I'm going to start. We have seen a dramatic journey in the revolution of industrialization, you can call it. Going as back as 1750, 270 years back, when we started the mechanics, it was a great innovation. It took 150 years to get to electric. So from mechanic to electric, 150 years, and half of 150, roughly 70 years. 70 years it took to get into electronics. The electronics which we all use and take pride in, it took us about 70 years after electric was invented. But it took only 30, 35 years, half of 70, to get into the cyber system where we are right now. And if you noticed, I have put artificial intelligence as tomorrow. There's a reason for that. Last year, I was invited by NASSCOM to deliver masterclass at a big forum. 600 plus CXOs were there. And I went on the stage and asked, can you please raise your hand if you have seen some AI near you? Several hands went up. All I'm talking about CXOs of India, by the way. Several hands went up. I said, great. If you are only referring to chatbot, Siri, Cortana, or Alexa, you can lower your hands. Most of the hands went down. This is the reality. Yes, we are talking about artificial intelligence, but we are still scratching the surfaces. Less than 1% benefit has been utilized so far. I remember 21 years back, when I came up with an idea of doing artificial intelligence, I gave this idea to Bill Gates. I was at Microsoft at that time. And my manager said, no, Mukesh, don't do that. It will not work. I said, why? Why are you so confident that it will not work? Bill Gates said, this is a good idea. Let us try. And he tried. It took me 3 months. It worked. But since then, still a lot of opportunities there. But why are we not there yet? Yeah, still, there is education layer to that. There is a lot of other pieces are there. But most important, you would have noticed, the culture we are in. A lot of time, we have been told, may not be in Navy, may not be some of the corporate world, but most of the time we have seen, I have said so, maine bola hai iske liye. So we have been forced to learn certain things without getting any explanation. So what happened? We grow that way, and we get to our adulthood, and we continue that culture of somebody has said so, I have to just follow. That is one where it inhibits innovation. I spent 13 years in US, and I've seen even the child, they have inquisitive thinking, they ask questions. Artificial intelligence is all about that. How can we explain? How can we make it explainable? And the culture is in the mindset. People tell me, Mukesh, can you talk about artificial intelligence technology? I said, no, I will not talk about technology. I talk about artificial intelligence as a concept, as a way of thinking. If you do that, technology is just there to make it happen. Those will be my overall theme in the presentation today. Now let's look at this simple cartoon. I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but sometimes people post and I just copy them shamelessly and use it in my presentation. As you can see, artificial intelligence cannot understand sarcasm. Artificial intelligence cannot interpret or read in between the lines and so on and so forth. So many wrong things happen. On the internet, we are talking about fake news, we are talking about Twitter, political things and all. The right side is empty because I had a political image, but I don't typically use that nowadays, so I've removed that part. But you get an idea about it. Artificial intelligence needs a lots and lots and lots of power. I think we are in the beginning part of it. Some of the research I'm doing at IIT and Chandigarh University, hopefully we'll be able to get to a certain point where we can interpret with a slightly higher accuracy of natural language processing. I tried this 2014, and since then it's been 6 years. I've been trying and spending a lot of our time for doing understanding and interpreting language. It is taking a lot of time, by the way. So it's a long way to go there. Now let's talk about intelligence. When you talk about intelligence, what does that mean? We as human, when we look at each one of them, we know it's A. But if I only show you one of them in isolation, we might have a different interpretation of the same word. That exactly is a benefit and the challenge of artificial intelligence. Looking at things and being able to interpret what that really is, and that is what the artificial intelligence starts with. This is the first part of artificial intelligence, which is learning. Learning by looking around and so on, pattern matching and so on. We as human can understand the pattern if it is slanted, incorrect and all of those, but artificial intelligence needs a little bit more clear indication. Now let's look at this quadrant. When we talk about artificial intelligence, we talk about cognitive part, the computational piece, the intelligent and automation piece. The thought, wherever the thoughts are involved, If a human, a system that thinks like a human is called cognitive. So we want to building a system which can think like humans, but we are thinking, oh, are they going to replace humans? By the way, the same questions were asked 30 years back. 30 years back when computers started coming in. Hey, are they going to replace humans? We all know, right? It didn't happen. It might have automated certain thing, but kind of a job it has created is humongous and opportunities. Same thing with artificial intelligence. I was speaking at a conference and one of the questions was asked, and I asked, yes, it will eliminate some jobs, but it's going to create thousands and lakhs of jobs more. On the right side, if you see, that's a rational behavior. Behavior which is more computational in nature. Why do we need human to spend a lot of time doing computation? Yes, right. Of course, we do relate to intelligence with the computational piece. But yes, if some of those part, one of the example was asked in the previous question was physics. So many things to read, so many things to learn. Right? Can we help us fast track our learning? Okay. There are pros and cons to that. But yes, computational part is also interesting one. And can act rationally, the automation piece of it, which we have already seen for several decades. And of course, act like human on the intelligence side of it, which is the behavioral part of it. Each one of them has evolved over a period of time. Several scientists have given their views about how this will happen and so on and so forth. But if I have to summarize this part, can I use data? Can I use historical information and be able to solve a problem, learn from it, solve a problem? Reason, act, and automate so that I can have human do a lot more important stuff. People ask me, Mukesh, with this automation, then what will humans do? Human do what they do best, take decisions. Now, let's talk about major areas in AI. There are multiple areas.
So, maybe you should click on hide on your screen. There's a stop sharing and then hide button.
Oh, I'm sorry for that. Yeah, better.
Thank you, sir.
So one of the things are there, each of us is a subject by itself, by the way, right? When I'm teaching at IIT Bombay or IIM, I don't take all of them, but take one and then go deep into those. Huge opportunity. So you're talking about cognitive behavior or a perceptive system, vision system, computer vision parts of it, speech. About 27 years back, when I, in my engineering days, I told that I'm going to do speech analytics project in my engineering days, 27 years back. My HOD told me, Mukesh, don't do it. Nobody will help. Deja vu. My daughter, in her engineering, she was doing a project on NLP for understanding court cases using artificial intelligence. She was told the same thing by HOD of her college. My daughter's name, Ria. Ria, don't do this. Nobody will be able to help you. That is the challenge, right? Some of the ideas when people have and all, we don't get enough help. When we don't get enough help, what happens? We get demotivated and we don't do it. I was a little stubborn. My daughter was stubborn. We ended up doing it anyways. Robotics, right? When you're talking about tedious tasks, this is the place where it has a lot more value and part in the defense part of it. Can we do some tedious job? Can we do some difficult tasks? Sending in a war zone, sending the person in a difficult zone where humans will have difficulty. And with the cold temperature or the hot temperature, how can we be able to use those parts? Robotics become a lot more important. Expert system, an interesting area where it stores lots and lots and lots of knowledges, okay, reading books and everything and all. And it can also show you the differences or some of the inconsistency in the books as well. Neural network, it again, the whole simulation of the neural network of humans that can do also. And of course, the natural language processing, which we talked about. Each of the area had a lot of opportunities and part. Today, I'm going to talk a couple of them on the defense implementation piece. Now, I'm showing you an image here, which some of the implementation I've done at Capgemini recently. So if you look at the other top part, right, looking at the human, looking at the gesture, can we make some interpretation, right? These are some of the areas which are very, very useful, both from a commercial perspective and the defense perspective, looking at the gesture and finding out pattern that what the person really is. Is it sad? Is it angry and things like that? And look at on the bottom side, right? It could be a show running. And I can look at each person's pictures and see what is the emotions going on with them. And accordingly, have a score which can help me understand whether it's the right time to give an ad or not from a commercial perspective. But from the other places, it can be telling me a collective emotions on my crowd as well. And the crowd sensing, people have wore mask or not, the helmets or not, the gears are correct or not. All of those things can be interpreted from here. So now, when we are in the borders and then somebody is trying to cross the borders and all, we can detect whether the person is armed or not armed. What is the emotion on that particular person? Have we seen this face anytime in the past? So all those things will help us reduce the false positive and, of course, the false negative as well. So when you're talking about AI, right, there are multiple building blocks. And the first and the foremost part is, where do you want to go? If you don't know, Alice in Wonderland, you can take any road. It doesn't matter, right? It's important for us to have the idea about, yes, this is what we are trying to achieve. This is we are going to automate, or we are going to reduce some of these challenges we are facing. And one of the important part comes is data. I cannot emphasize enough, as I'm head of data as well for Capgemini, and also I teach on data. Data is not just about the file we see in Excel in front of us. That comes long time after we do the things about qualitative and quantitative measurement. Think about it. When you order something from an online store, any online store, or you complete an Uber or Ola ride, it pops you up, rate 1 to 5. And you ask, after you do the rating, it asks you, please give a detailed message. So all of those things are nothing but your data. It is generating data. Important part. Every activity or inactivity generates data. Look at it. Since 10:20 a.m. today morning, you have not checked your WhatsApp. So people who are trying to reach you will see last thing 10:20 a.m. That's your inactivity. Even inactivity generates data. So the important part to understand, going deep into the data, what kind of pattern, data pattern we can capture, be it activity or inactivity, so that we can build the analytics model around that. We can do machine learning on top of it, and then use artificial intelligence. So there are building blocks. Somebody was asking me, hey Mukesh, you don't need data for artificial intelligence. I said, you might be right, but there was only one algorithm, only one system in the past history which was built without data. The first chess playing algorithm. 1970s, it was built. That was the only one without data. The next version of the same software was using data. So I don't think we can live without data, especially when you're talking about artificial intelligence. So that is the important part I want to highlight here. And of course, structured and unstructured. We know that data is not just about numeric value. You'll be surprised to know 96.1% of the data in the world right now is unstructured. Lot more can be done in this area. It could be your text, it could be your images, it could be your audio, or it could be your video. So all of those, so much unstructured data is still there. Think about it. If I send you a video, unless you see the full video, you will not know who are the characters in the video. Why? That's your unstructured data. Some innovation has been done, but not a whole lot yet. A long way to go. So these are some of the upcoming area. Of course, I'm also advisor to 7 universities where I'm forcing them, literally forcing them to bring some of this part into early years of curriculum so that every engineer can learn some of this element, and hopefully we can overcome those pieces. Right? It's again, long way to go. And most important part, it is about intent. Intent, when you're generating data, can I get the intent about it? Think about it. Think 2020. What comes to your mind? 2020. I'm sure some of you might be thinking cricket. Some of you thinking IPL. Or it could be the book by our late president, Dr. Abdul Kalam, 2020. It could be the Eye Vision, 2020. It could be the Parle Biscuit, 2020. A talk show in UK. And a weight loss program 2020 in US. The number 2020 is same across, but it has so many meaning. So now it's important to understand the intent, and that's where AI comes very, very important, that when Mukesh is saying 2020, what does that really mean? And by the way, 2020 year of COVID, right? So when Mukesh is saying 2020, what does that mean as of now, compared to when Mukesh said 2020 when he's in US, or when 2020 somebody telling me where somebody from other country, right? So all those things is about intent. Whatever I talked about so far, it will be all useless if I don't connect it with the outcome. The outcome, it could be how I can improve my accuracy of my decision, how I can dig better and better at what I'm doing. Okay? So Kano was a scientist who suggested that things over a period of time move in a certain direction. As you can see, this slide is an old slide. I think about 16-year-old slide. I purposely kept the old slide because it talks about it. So our defense system, our things what we are using in computers, things we are using in decision making, was there, whatever was there, right? But now the expectation is changing. with the new ways of engagement, the new ways of things, we need to be innovative continuously. And I'm sure there are a lot of innovation already happening there. In this diagram, as you can see, 16 years back, I know some of you may relate to this, you would have seen this particular phone model. If you say, I can do web access on my phone, people will say, wow. I can do email on my phone, wow. That will be the wow, which is the delight factor. But over a period of time, they all become must-have. The more, like what Amazon say, or the cow, show me more. In the more side of it is more memory, more battery, everything. And then they're dissatisfied. Yeah, the battery is not that good, but I'm okay. The weight is slightly higher, but I'm okay. All these three becomes your must-have. Now, you don't go and say, can I please get a smartphone? No, you don't do that. You just take a phone and it understood that it will have web dialing, web access, email, everything. What you need, a selfie camera, 2 selfie camera, 4 selfie camera nowadays, right? It is expected that it will happen. So all of those things shift. Same thing happened with AI. Same thing happens with data. Things which were happening earlier may not be continue to happening now. We need to be continuously innovating in this area. Okay. Now, if I were to break down AI into multiple components, there are several areas which can talk about deduction, reasoning part of it, or knowledge part of it, the planning, perception, robotics, machine learning, natural language, social intelligence, and it can keep going down. When I'm teaching, I'll take one topic like supervised learning. It will be like a 3-day course just to understand in detail how a decision tree can be made so that people can take decisions based on the data. Think about it. When you order an Uber, how an Uber get assigned to you? It is a decision tree with a little bit of supervised learning. It helps you find this particular commander, this particular Uber will be assigned because you don't cancel as often, so you get a better vehicle. This particular person, 70% of the time he's canceling. Let us give this particular vehicle, right? But when you're talking about on a larger scale, where we don't know what is the past, we don't know what is the future. When we are talking about building it, how would it learn? That's where reinforcement learning comes into picture. Reinforcement learning, there is no data. You do certain activity, either you get reward or you get penalized. And depending on those parts, you increase. Imagine we have a robot who is there in the front line and then trying to monitor the borders and all. And then certain thing happens. The robot takes an action. And we tell, no robot, you have done a wrong thing. So we penalize. After that, robot takes action. We reward. So this continue to happen. But the question comes in, is false positive better or false negative? Something a decision was taken, but it actually impacted. Or sometimes the decision is not taken and then we get impacted. So those balancing act comes back to the data. The false positive, the false negative, the precision and recall, all those technical terms from the data, important so that we know we don't just cry foul. We don't just shoot in the dark. Just because there was some birds flying around, right? So all those things become important as in artificial intelligence to be able to do the balancing act. What is there? What is not there? So that is the part when we are building the model itself. So as I mentioned, we need to first know where we are going, then we collect data, and then we build the artificial intelligence models to do that. They are called models because we are still calling it algorithms and model. But as we go forward, it becomes a system. System which is taking your decision and so on and so forth. So here is as one slide, it talks about the whole journey from data to decision. When I refer artificial intelligence, I refer to it as ability to take decision, ability to take better decision. So on the first part is not data, is measurement. If I don't measure correctly, I will be having a wrong data in my first place. From data, you create information. Right. So when I have data about temperature, I have data about weather, I have data about humidity, I have data about nearby surroundings, people, number of people. All this is data. Only when I have information, I have more value from data. Then from information, I have insights. For example, why there are 20 people? Oh, there is a meeting going on. So that's your information. Insights. Who are there in the meeting? Am I looking at some incorrect faces? What is the expression of people's face? Oh, this particular person always have a smile on the face. Is it still having the smile on the face? This particular person is usually angry and his volume is very high. Is it still happening today? So all those things, your insights and all, which can flag certain behavior of a person, that, hey, this particular person, are you sure is part of our meeting, right? All those things, your insights. Then you take decisions. I see certain thing, should I take a call of doing this activity or that activity? Is this person part of Indian team or not team? All those things your decision. Once decision is done, you do recommendation. And ultimately an action is taken. Yes or no, doing this part, right? So each one of the element, there is a big research goes there into this and get to a point where you have always a balancing act, whether this or that should be done and all. So this is what I call about data to decision to action. Now, you may have heard about certain things like reporting, alerting, recommendation, prediction, prescriptive analytics. Each one of them have a certain thing. When I look at it, I look at it in the 9 buckets. Past, present, future, information, insights, and action. So whatever I'm showing as a report is your what happened. Like model, how it happened, what can we do to prevent it, so on and so forth. That's the past data. Present, alerting. If the alerting is not happening in seconds or milliseconds, it is wastage of system. Recommendation. If this is happening, what should I do? Should I engage? Should I fire? Should I give an alert? All of those things are my recommendation system. Okay. And verification. Can you please validate? Is this person from the Indian side or not? Verification, validation, all of those things will be in the present part of it. Future, the most important part, can I extrapolate? If this is the pattern, what is the future? How many are we expecting, right? If suddenly certain enemy forces come into one area, right? What is the next action they can do? So all of those parts will be a futuristic thing when you do prediction and most important, prescriptive. What can be done to prevent some such situation from happening? This each one of those have a certain AI component, certain analytics component, and this is where it becomes important for us to know the whole journey from the descriptive part to diagnostic, predictive, prescriptive, and then comes the cognitive. The cognitive, what about the human intelligence part? So this is the place of prescriptive and cognitive, which takes AI to the next level. When I take AI to the next level, when I'm talking about it can help us take decisions. There is one line, I have my own views on AI. Certain things, we can let AI take decision. But certain things, we need to draw a boundary where we don't allow it to take decision. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes about that as well. Okay. Now, when I talk about this AI part, there is certain things, if you look at it on the bottom side, which is your machine learning element about what is being learned from the data using machine. Artificial intelligence, where it can do some interfaces like a human user can do, and the cognitive computing, which is about inferences from data, more and more inferences about data, and then you can have a machine or as a human to say, tell the machine that, hey, this is right or this is wrong. That's how it learns faster and better. Now let me give you an example of junk filter which I built in 1999. During my interaction, I came to know that Bill Gates used to get 15,000 plus junk email per day. Imagine person like Bill Gates, 15 to 16,000 junk email per day, it was very, very challenging for him to maintain. He used to have 4 assistants to clear those emails. Okay? And the team, when it was in a discussion room, and Bill Gates, that was the first time I interacted with Bill Gates, in Microsoft, there was a policy that every time there is a meeting, a junior most person should be there in the team. So I was junior most, just 3.5 years experience, I was part of the team. So Bill Gates was looking at the document. That time there was no PowerPoint and all. He looked at it and said, okay, where is the junk filter? Some of our team members said, oh, that's too complicated. We cannot do that. He threw it on the paper, on the table, and said, okay, give me one day and I will code it. And he left the room. We are struggling. When you think about junk email, what do we think? Some specific image, some specific content and all. That was the model which was already there. So I raised my hand. Puchne mein kya jata hai? There is no harm in asking. Everybody shot me down and say, no, Mukesh, you cannot say that. You cannot be working. You have so many less years experience. You cannot do that. But I argued with them that why not? Nobody allowed me to do that. But then I thought the traditional methods are not working of identifying based on content. How about if I change the way of doing things? So just think about the AI part of it. The reason I'm giving you the example so that you can get an idea about AI is supposed to be thought process and not technology. Just remember that. I told them that, you know, how about this? Just think yourself also when you get junk email. Do you read a junk email for more than 5 seconds? Do you delete an important email in less than 3 seconds? Probably not. Both answers, right? And that was my model. I created a machine learning model in which you learn from your behavior with the email, whether you are deleting or not deleting, and that's it. That was a simple model I had. We started collecting data, and I have enough data to tell me this type of email, like for example, Flipkart, that type of Flipkart, is junk for Mukesh, but Amazon is not junk for Mukesh, and so on and so forth, right? So it will create this model and then continuously learn from it. Yes, it can make mistakes. What kind of mistakes are okay? What kind of mistakes are not okay? It's not okay to have important email in junk. Clear? It's okay to have more junk in your mailbox. If I do, just have to compare. So if I do this fine tuning, this was my AI algorithm 21 years back. It worked and I got my award and all. This kind of thought process has to be there. Don't just go with the standard algorithm which are available out of the box, because it is still new area. So we have a lot of opportunities to come up with new ideas and so on and so forth. Now, when we talk about AI, we're talking about intelligent application. It could be your robot. It could be your autonomous vehicle, autonomous system machinery to take some action. So the ACT part of it, the ACT part on the right side top, if you see, this is the part I'm talking about, process automation, robotic process automation, and taking action. Or it could be thinking, continuous thinking, the deep learning, which is there available now, the neural network, continuously thinking and building a decision support system. Or remember, yes, I remember this face. The person was here 3 times in the past. So if I have to look at my records and all manually, it will take forever. But if a computer system is telling me, yes, this particular person have visited here 7 times. This is the time they had visited and all those good stuff can happen. Or I can do watch the sensors. Is the temperature going up? Is the temperature going down? Is that carbon monoxide there? What can we do? Are there movement we are seeing in the thing? Computer vision, all those things can be watched or the monitor part. Sometimes the computer vision part, people let us implement from AWS or Azure and all those things or technology stuff on the cloud, not useful. We are sometimes working in the area where there is not enough internet. If there is not enough internet, how can we get the output? So that's where I call it edge computing. So with 5G and all, it will be helpful. But even without that, if I do edge computing, I can bring the power, the compute power in the cameras itself. So the cameras itself can make a decision and do alerting. Like the mask and all are a really good example. The harness, the helmet and all are also some good example. And of course, listening and talking, chatbot NLP. This is the area, finding out patterns about what conversation happening between two people, or some pattern is can be detected, can we alert somebody that wrong things are happening. All those things are your listen and talk. So collectively, each one of them, if you start analyzing it, what can be implemented in the defense side, what each one of them for every activity we do in defense can be implemented there. Next, 10 minutes, I'm going to talk about particular use case, and then I'll close with a thought process about how this can be implemented. After that, I'll be opening up for...
You see this one, please put it in the video.
Hello? In operation. Yes, sorry.
Please continue.
Okay. So when I talk about part, it could be in, when you talk about operations, right? It could be in planning and procurement, production, logistic, in-store, sales. It could be any combination. Some of them may not be applicable for you. But think about it on the planning and procurement side, right? So can I think about stock replenishment? Can I look at what kind of parts in the vehicle, in your tankers or in your thing, where were run out? Or what kind of maintenance I can do so that those challenges do not come again, right? So those, some of these pieces are important for us to do predictive maintenance. But important part is something is wearing down, and what can I have this alerting? For example, oil viscosity is suddenly going up, or because of humidity, my rust is happening there. So each one of those element is good important part for us to be able to do predictive part of it, so that before this get breakdown, we can have those. Historical data tells us this 4 machinery have broke down this many times. So what are the parts we can have it ahead of time, right? The decision on the cognitive contract analysis. There are contracts with hundreds of pages. Can I use AI to determine what are the key clause, what are the important clause which I should be worried about? Or I should just look at those patterns and then figure out and then create a database that these contracts are telling me that. For example, right now, when the COVID situation happened at Capgemini, we had the challenge. How do you make people work from home? Because the contract clearly says that people are not allowed to work from home, the client contracts. So what we did, we quickly ran an AI algorithm for all the contracts, identified those 80 plus contracts, contacted the customer, and we got a waiver for most of the people. Some contract were not able to change, of course, by the way. Anyway, so those part was procurement, planning and procurement. Another one in on the production side on maintenance, predictive maintenance and all. And this is the important part on predictive maintenance. Like I'm also consulting some of the companies like Rolls-Royce and BMW and all. And one of the things which we have found is it is not just about predicting when it will wear out. But if the material is wearing down, the production quality will also go down. The output throughput will go down. So if I can prevent it early, I can regain those parts. The quality can be improvised. Quality can be saved. Those are some of the parts on the production side of it. Distribution logistics. Do we know what routes are better? For example, during cold time, right? A heavy cold winter, some of the areas of our borders are challenges. So now, can we predict the weather, which route is the right route to take so that we can prevent those harsh weather from stalling our vehicles, stalling our supplies and so on. Okay, those all could be under distributed logistics. But definitely, I'll share this report. This is some of the research work Capgemini have done, and that's what is here in the screen. Operation, in-store operations, right? It could be there if you are, you know, talking about your store or availability of your content and all. And sales and marketing may not be as well useful in your case. If I had to talk about three elements, it could be robotics. Automate what is being given to them, the task. Take something from here, put it there. Do something robotic part. Very, very clear. Automate it, but the step. If this, do that. If they do this, automation part. And the most important part, autonomous. There is a big future for autonomous. There is an overlap between all three, by the way. Autonomous have the big future. Autonomous vehicle, where you talk about, right? So self, like drones, right? It could go in the region, do the surveillance, come back. But if it gets shot, if it have malfunctioning, all the data can get erased automatically, right? All of those things autonomous. When the situation comes in, how it safeguards themselves, the drones, and then when it can come back. All these things are simple algorithm which can be built inside those autonomous vehicle, autonomous surveillance cameras, and it can be deployed. So these three components work in tandem with each other to be able to get certain output which we determine. So now if I were to look at each of this application in detail, we're talking about military drones, we talked about already, right? Robot soldier for combat. So in the combat, the biggest part is, you know, some of the location which are very sensitive, and we cannot have more people there because we are in direct sight of attacks and so on. So how do we do robotic part of it? Yes, it is challenges and all, but this could be one where it has a lot of opportunity. Intelligent system for awareness, the movement of things, the kind of talks, kind of phone calls are happening, or satellite phone calls are happening, communication are happening. How do we determine those to be able to get more awareness? Cybersecurity is becoming more and more important. How when people hack or when people personate. Even AI is subject to cybersecurity issues, by the way. So how do we secure our web portal so no attacks happens on our site and impersonate or give wrong decision or wrong commands to us, right? Complex maintenance. Some machinery, we have to go really deep into those. Robotic arm can be a better way to do it rather than human putting their hands into those complex machinery part. Other part is the heat map. So this is the area which I'm sure we, when I saw this movie, our Pokhran movie was really amazing. How do we find out blind spot wherein these are in open seas? These are the area where we don't do surveillance. These are the area when somebody is there, we will not be able to identify because they are behind the mountain or so. So identifying those, creating a heat map, and then deploying certain automated ones, surveillance to be able to find out those blind spots. Images, coded images, voice screen. There is a big, big challenge now. People are communicating via images. So hard to detect what is there in the image unless you have a lot more advanced algorithm to decode it or even voice screens, right? So these are some of the area AI can help better, especially in the images part, right? Some images are there, some of them are objectionable images, some of them are creating riots. But some of the images have messages which you cannot detect. We can have all of our system to talk about the voice call, intercept, translate everything, email message you can translate. But how do we translate images? And these are some of the areas, the important part. And some of these messages are written within the image, right? Hard to detect those part. Inventory, we talked about it. Assortment prediction, what kind of vehicle, arms we need at the right time and so on. Finding affinity relation between two random people. And this is the one which is very, very interesting area, wherein two different people are there. We want to find out if are they related. So the whole history of that particular person, how I can match and say, yes, these two people met each other three times in the past history, right? Looking at their lifelong data, looking at the phone records, looking at their movement around this. And this is an important area to see if there are any spy within our people, or are finding out there are wrong people who are, you know, from some other side are sending messages, so on and so forth. Document analysis is another good one for AI, wherein we are extracting key information. The spec of a particular part, it could be contextual terms. Personal safety is important, wherein having the right set of gears, a personal safety gears, so that they don't get affected. And the important part is, can AI be able to detect and tell that whether it's there or not there? And object detection, of course. If we find out something was not there yesterday, now suddenly a new object comes in there. Is it a threat to our army, our defense forces? That can be looked at it. Some of this area, I was doing some research and found out some of the military army from some other countries have already done it. Some of them are totally new, like, for example, point number 9, affinity between two people. This is a lot more area, a lot more research can be done further. And things like, you know, intelligence system for awareness. How do we increase more awareness? Point number 3. And point number 7, message extraction, coded image. These are the area where I would say a lot of opportunities there. Partnering with some of the university, asking them to do research could be a good way to get more leeway or more benefits from this area. Okay, the message decoding part, as I was talking about, right? So looking at the time, looking at the location, people, image, and augmenting with human capabilities. These are the area to be able to get better patterns on the data, images, location, and all of those together. That's the message decoding piece. And personal safety, we talked about already, the safety gear, do authorized people have access to the authorized zone and so on? Are we just relying on the fingerprints or the facial scan, or something else can be done? Voice is something not very easy to simulate the pitch. Yes, you can have the same voice, but not the pitch. So that is some of the ways we can do authentication. I implemented this for a bank for authentication, and it works. So those are some of the area we can do. And behavioral. The kind of movement you have, how fast do we walk, how much hand movement we do, how much eye movement we do. Those are some of the way to find out if we have got an impersonated person within. Mood detection, alertness detection. Alertness is a good one as well. If we expect certain people to be doing a night duty, right? How do we make sure they are alert all the time, right? Alertness detection can be another way to look at it. Poisonous gas is an interesting one, implemented by several places, that before the gas starts becoming a higher percentage, it can detect an alert that this kind of gas, poisonous gas, are there. How can we prevent it from happening? Some of the affinity we talked about, I think I've already covered this. The document information is also there to cover. And this is the area I want to caution for a few minutes here, and then we will talk about some implementation piece. We have to draw a line about where do we allow it to learn. Self-learning, automated learning sounds very good. Machine learning, automated, sounds very good. But if you don't draw a line, there's a challenge. You saw what happened with Facebook. Bob and Alice, they had two computers. They ended up talking to each other in their own language. Nobody could interpret. They had to shut down the project. Microsoft had a chatbot called Tay, and it was very good, very powerful. It was learning on its own. People ended up teaching Tay some of the bad words. It became racist in a couple of days. Satya Nadella announced that, yes, our project is successful. It works, but we are going to shut down because it's not ready for your human consumption. Why? Because people can teach whatever it wants. So this is the area where the machine learning, if it learns on its own, it can actually create a problem for us. And that is what my personal suggestion is, to draw a line, so that it doesn't get into challenges like this. Security hacking concern, right? If it hacks, who will have control after that? If your system is doing all the AI system is doing it. So those boundaries need to be set. Human intervention should be taken. Plus, focusing more on decision support rather than making it decision making. So if you do this balancing act, and at the right interval, we do a human intervention, and that is the best part you can have achieved. In Japan, there are trains where it runs on its own. But if after it passes certain point, it alerts the driver, and the driver is supposed to press a button. If the driver doesn't press a button, in a few minutes, the train comes to a stop. It is automated, but still driven human intervention. And this could be some certain things which can do a combination of AI and human so that we don't cross the line and we don't go further. And this is the place where telematics come into picture. Continuously looking, hey, the machine is acting erratic. A human need to come and press a button. Or the last point, explainable AI. Can we explain why AI have taken certain decision? Why certain things are happening because of AI? And these are some of the good areas to look into. Next, 5 minutes, I'll cover this and then I'll open up for question. When you're talking about AI journey, you're talking about having it about, no, you're eliminating some of the human element, the manual work, error-prone work, standardizing it so that the mistake cannot happen, and optimizing it. Once we are in optimized phase, these are the time only then you go for automation. I have seen somebody directly jump into robotization. Don't do that, because what will happen? You end up creating something, automation of a wrong thing. Right? So that's why going through the journey about eliminate, standardize, optimize, then automate, and then robotize. That helps you get towards AI even faster. And some of the element of assessment, what do you assess, how do you collect data, how do you explore the data. Important part of data exploration is the data correct? Can I trust? What are the chances of data going wrong? That is where you explore, then you analyze about exploration, trend, detection, correlation. Correlation becomes important, even though it's a simple statistical term, but very, very powerful. 70% of machine learning models in the industry use correlation. Without that, I don't think any model can be successful. So that is where a lot of power is there. And then you create a model, statistical modeling, and then you verify, validate, and then you decide on a go, no go. So the whole process of how do you build an algorithm and deploy, because if you skip any step, you might end up automating certain things which you may not be even looking at it. So this is some of the things when we are not talking about it. I talk about in a couple of weeks worth of effort to get to this point. And of course, there are common barriers. A common barrier for AI is, you know, the human impact, what it is. Use cases are unclear, and this is the most important part. Remember the slide I talked about, Alice in Wonderland? We need to be clear about where we are going. The use clear need to be a lot more robust and solid. Strategies need to be aligned. It cannot be isolated. Right sponsorship, right technical part of it. And important part, data. How well good the data is, accessibility. Talent we need, of course. Talent scarcity is the biggest one. How many AI engineers are we producing? Not many. But some of the universities I am now associated with as an advisor, I am truly creating and launching program like BTech in AI, BTech in machine learning. So I'm doing those parts so that we can create more AI engineers. So some of this can be done and overcome those part. So slowly moving from people to, you know, bots to people, experiment to real world example, isolated deployment to global expertise, slowly getting into each one of those. AI, most of the people are thinking about chatbots. Chatbot is good starting point, but that is not everything, right? We have to move more and more towards the intelligent system. Okay. So in conclusion, across business, across part, you start with the offering. You're looking at each and everything what we do, where we can have the real solution, the innovation part, wherein we have the Kano moment and all, personalization, everything about those part on the service side. So even though some of them could be related to defense, some of them could be related to more commercial part, but you'll get an idea about it. Then intuitive, how easy it is to use, the quality of service, the user experience part, does it just work? If you do 20 steps before it can work, I think we're not done it right, right? Performance, stability, all of those parts come into picture. Then comes the adoption part. Are people really adopting it, right? And how is the accuracy part, right? And of course, the results part of it. So overall, each one of them have a certain play things to play to be able to get the AI maturity for the organization. And the future of AI and analytics, this is something I've been talking about it. In the next 2 to 3 years, we'll talk more and more about data literacy. More people will be required to be data literate or how to use data, what the data can tell you, and collaborative intelligence will be the next big thing. The data will become commoditized. More and more, it will be easy for us to access data. All data which is non-personalized data I'm talking about right now here, and non-sensitive data. It will become commoditized, easy to get data as and all. You're talking about proactive, predictive, prescriptive, and augmented analytics. Okay, the difference, the reduced time to insights. I should be able to get insights on my fingertips, more of a self-service point. Tighter and intelligent integration between human and machine. this will become more and more important with artificial intelligence. Security, privacy, the ethical ethics and all really important to go, because without ethics, we cannot do well. And important, you saw the recent event which our Honorable Prime Minister Mr. Narendra Modi also have inaugurated, the RISE event of AI for India. And that is where some of these things were discussed very, very openly. And more option about chief data officer, chief analytics officer are getting mainstream. With that, I'm going to quickly summarize the top 30 technologies of the decade is AI on the top, followed by Internet of Things, mobile, blockchain, and so on. And each one of them have a certain things to play in our history and so on. With this, I'm going to pause here and see if you have any question. I can answer question. I have about 15 minutes to answer any of your question. Over to you.
A question from Wing Commander Arima. So the question is, what could be the possible applications of AI in military aviation?
Okay, in military aviation, there are three major parts. I'm working for a company who build aircrafts. Three major parts we have seen, but for military aviation, I may not be able to answer directly, but just an idea about it, the nearby surrounding part, right? So whenever things are there, how fast can we interpret the frames when it is driving and then make a decision whether this is our aircraft or somebody else's aircraft, and then is this the right part? What will be the projectile part about taking an action and so on and so forth? Those are some of the very high level part which I can think about right now, but since I don't have experience, cannot talk more and more about it.
So we have a question of Lakshmana Rahul, that the maintenance regime followed by the Navy for its machinery are planned predictive maintenance and condition-based monitoring. How easy is to or difficult is will be to incorporate AI-based predictive maintenance or prescriptive maintenance in such an app?
So AI-based predictive maintenance, I would say if we have certain data, right, even if it's a 3 months data, I think it's a good start. And I've seen a lot of places where high-end manufacturing and all, they're able to successfully implement AI-based predictive maintenance. So when I'm talking about AI-based predictive maintenance, it has talking about the component, it is talking about the weather, the humidity, the temperature, viscosity of the oil, rusting, the friction, the noise. Pretty much all things can be taken into as a parameter, and a model can be built which can do the prediction that yes, the noise levels have increased, hey, the humidity have increased, the viscosity is changing. So this part will be saying yes, now there's an alert, within 3 hours we need to replace the parts, otherwise there will be a downtime, otherwise there might be a damage to the machinery. So those parts are there to prevent downtime and also be able to make the right decision at the right time. So those are some of the implementation I have seen happening, plus ability to predict the productivity decline of the productive machinery, plus the quality aspect of it. So if something is going wrong or it is deviating from the spec, it will be able to alert you in time. So those are some of the implementation I have seen successfully done for multiple clients.
Thank you, sir, for taking your precious time for us today. I am on behalf of the commanding officer, INS Valsura, I give my thank you to you, sir. So the various facts and the technology of AI which you have covered in this session are very enlightening. The use cases of AI, particularly in defense perspective, are very informative and engrossing. The journey from data and to artificial intelligence, and then later on describing aspect of explainable AI, which is also one of the themes, were covered in a very effective manner, sir. I'm really thankful to you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Bye.